Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, 877-710 ESPN. Take a couple calls here. Scott in Anaheim. Scott, appreciate you calling into the show. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Basically, I just I'm in total support of the players playing, if for no other reason than to just not leave that money on the table, to invest it in the community. And the best way to invest in the community is education. It all starts with education and combating fear. It's if you invest if the creation of sports schools, especially to expose certain sports to minorities that don't have normal exposure. For example, Simone Biles in gymnastics. How many more Simone Biles are out there? But not just create it for the sport, you also create a great education. Get the best teachers. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money left on the table here to get this thing rolling. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And we need to educate, and we need to, and even get police involvement in these schools, whether it's in some capacity to help and to assist and to show that not all of them are bad. Open the dialogue to communication. I'm a diving coach. I've been a four-time Olympic diving coach. I've worked with black athletes in the sport of diving, which is basically a white man's sport, but at the same, or the words out of their mouths, but some of the best athletes I've ever coached in the sport have been black athletes, and there's a tremendous opportunities out there, college scholarships, things like that. They just don't have the exposure. I mean, I've
Scott, and I appreciate it. I got to get to a couple calls here, and I also want to get to Adam Silver. So thank you for calling in. All right. Listen, as far as the players go, it's a tough one. You know, it's a tough one. We're probably going to have players that are not a part of the playoffs if we end up, you know, obviously having this playoffs. Could affect the Lakers. Let's say Dwight Howard is one of those players, and maybe Avery Bradley, and don't quote me on it. This is those are just two players that voiced their opinion over the weekend and are a part of this group that want to see the best way of continuing to raise awareness for social injustice. But I use those two as an example because they obviously are part of the Lakers. With that being said, Adam Silver was on ESPN, and his message was players could use their platform in a way to draw attention to social issues. So here's Adam Silver a little bit earlier on ESPN.
For us, you know, we feel this is what we do. You know, we put on NBA basketball. We think that for the country, it'll be a respite from enormous difficulties people are dealing with in their lives right now. And I also think in terms of social justice issues, it'll be an opportunity for NBA players in the greater community to draw attention to these issues because the world's attention will be on the NBA in Orlando, Florida, if we're able to pull this off.
All right, that's Adam Silver right there. So obviously his message is very clear. And I think it's pretty consistent with a lot of the different media, and I don't think it has to get convoluted too. Like, I don't think we have to mix in, they have financial incentives to finishing off the season. I mean, listen, if the Lakers end up finishing out their year, of course, you're going to hear me on here. You're going to hear Ireland. MT's going to be, we'll be doing the games. You'll have listeners obviously reacting. I mean, there is a trickle down effect that comes all the way down to us, goes all the way down to fans. We all want basketball back. And Adam Silver talks about using these platforms in a way where there's going to be so much attention on the NBA. It's one way to take advantage of it. Efron and Downey, appreciate you calling in, Efron. What's your thoughts on this? This has been kind of the conversation for most of the day, but what's your stance?
Hey, Alan, thanks for having me on. Hey,
you got it, man.
Let me preface what I'm going to say by saying, look, I support everybody's individual opinions and rights to, you know, proceed with, you know, how they feel best. to handle situations. But something I haven't, I think the NBA players are having a bit of tunnel vision. What they have to understand is they're not the only game in town, so to speak. The NFL, they're gonna get their season going. Major League Baseball, they could get their act together, get their season going. Hockey's going to have their season going. Boxing is starting to ramp up, having 3-4 fights, during the week. The NBA is not thinking about the fact that the only way their stance, and I'm talking about guys like Dwight Howard, Kyrie Irving, the only way their particular method works is if they have a coalition of all professional athletes. Because what's going to happen is, okay, let's say the NBA decides, you know what, we're going to focus in on these protests. We're not going to distract from it. But guess what? The NFL is going to distract from it. NHL is going to distract from it. And God knows they need the viewership. Major League Baseball, boxing, all of these other sports are going to pull in all these distractions that they're trying to avoid. It's not just about the NBA. And not only that.
So, Efron, just hypothetically, yeah. Hypothetically, what if those players are okay with that? What if those players are like, no, we understand that. We know that that's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want to do, but we feel our purpose is going to be different than their purpose. Just hypothetically speaking, what if their thought process is they're not obviously thinking about it from a business perspective? Because if they were, then that $1.2 billion that can be generated between now and the end of the season, that wouldn't be everybody's main concern. It would probably be the majority main concern. But what if that's not important to them? What if those ratings and all that other stuff, because there's somebody that has gone through a life where they feel like this is their opportunity to stand up against racism.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. But what they're trying to do is, if they're trying to promote their message, if they're trying to make people open their eyes and see what's going on in the world, not playing on a stage where they're given that. How often do ESPN cameras focus in on somebody's shoes because they have a message written on their shoes, on their sneakers? Or remember when AC Green had the teddy bear that he always used to have with That's their platform. And I'm not trying to say, you guys need to play. No. I'm just saying, if that's really the message that they're trying to
promote.
You're
saying it could be more impactful by playing.
Exactly. And not only that, but in this day and age of technology, the protesters are going to be able to watch the game on their phones or their iPads. They don't need to be at home to watch the games. They can go to the protest and watch the game.
Mm-hmm. Efron, I appreciate you calling in. All right. Appreciate the perspective. Thank you, man. Let me get to this real quick. Damian Lillard was on ESPN and he's talking specific on the impact some of these protests are having across the country.
I hope that it has a sort of impact where people realize that the black community has had enough. You know, when I went and protested, it was thousands and thousands of people, and you know, about half of them, or maybe a little bit less than half of them, were white people. And I think that type of support and that type of pressure being applied, you know, can only cause change. Being consistent with that, and not only having black people, but people who've been a part of the privilege, you know, people who haven't directly been affected, kind of jumping in and joining the fight as well. I think that goes a long way. And I think you've seen that, you know, because it's not only black people, it's white people. It's not only United States. It's been other countries participating actively and consistently. So I think when you have that type of unity, you know, it applies pressure and almost forces you to bring some type of change.
I think I'm churning a little bit. We'll talk about it at halftime. Jesse and I will get a chance to talk about it, but I think the more that I've got a chance to listen to some of these listeners and listen to these specific interviews, it's an interesting debate. It's an interesting, you know, dialogue about which one could be more impactful. We'll talk about that coming up next. Halftime, myself and Jesse, stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, let's get some shootouts started. Call 844-844-WINS for a free consultation and review of your policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for lost revenue. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Jesse, how you doing, brother?
I am doing good. It's very weird being back here.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll update everybody. Now. Curtis not in the house tonight, so that means you go in studio. And that's probably why you picked this song. Probably why you picked this song.
Yeah. It's
not worry about anything.
Just calming down. It's just you, me, and the audience.
That's
just,
it.
And that's it. There's nothing else here. I'm not looking at a glass window into nothing. I'm just, it's just conversating. Just conversating.
You know what's interesting, Jess? So this whole show, I was so curious to just kind of get listeners' takes and get people's take. And I was actually all day today, I was curious on how people would view some of these players who I've put together this coalition and are really talking about, okay, well, if the season, if we do play, how are we going to raise awareness? How are we going to use these platforms? I mentioned this, that I feel like I'm kind of, I feel like I walked into the show tonight saying, no, no, no. I sympathize with the players that are doing this. I respect them. That hasn't changed. Neither of that has changed. But I can see how those out there are starting to say, think about how many eyes are going to be on these players during the games this year. Think about how big the ratings are going to be. Think about how many people are going to be watching games all day long. Also, you know, watching SportsCenter, listening to Sports Talk Radio, Twitter, Instagram, the whole nine yards. Yes, it could be a distraction, but if it's done the right way, damn, it could probably raise an incredible amount of awareness.
And you know what else it can do? It can also show other leagues, you know what, hey, maybe this is the way to approach it, because, you know, if there's any
right,
of the,
football,
the,
take some notes.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Right? Football, NFL. MLB, NHL. I mean, this, the NBA is the perfect league to do something like this, because, you know, they're arguably the most progressive league, and, you know, the players, they're
and incredibly
choosing.
Popular right now. Incredibly yeah. popular.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about this. For the most part, we've been talking, of course, we've been talking about NBA because it's Lakers talk, but even I feel the general conversation, it's been a lot about NBA and what's going to happen. Are these players going to play? Are they not going to play? And all in the meanwhile, we're still waiting for MLB to figure it out, but I feel like the conversation is still on the NBA. Are they going to play or are they not going to play? So yeah. That just shows more that the NBA, you know, has its own power just by being the NBA. And I believe that no matter what, they can find a message to it. I don't think it'll be a distraction. I think, you know, Brad Turner said it best, is, you know, the player might not, you know, a protester might, you know, choose to watch a game instead of going to protest, but what if they're doing stuff in the game? And, you know, one of my shootout questions,
I got a good example
based on that too. So mm-hmm. we'll definitely get into it.
I got a good example. Let's just use this as an example. Bubba Wallace. How much did you know about Bubba Wallace? Just in general, right? Like, in general, how much did you know about him and his just him in NASCAR and everything else? I feel like I know more today about Bubba Wallace than I ever have, and that was primarily because they did have a race this weekend, right? Like, that was probably part of the reason, and him speaking and him trying to help and raise awareness of the Confederate flag now taken down. You cannot have that at any NASCAR
race, NASCAR
any NASCAR
race.
Races, right? Like, I think that's a good example of somebody that used his platform and raised a ton of awareness. So that could be an example. And think about what that would be on an NBA scope. It would be 10 times that.
Yeah, you know, that's you never really thought NASCAR was going to be something at least brought up here. Because if Bubba Wallace never spoke out, you probably aren't even – you're not saying that. You're not saying Bubba Wallace's name. You're not thinking NASCAR race. He chose to speak out, and because he knew at that moment this was that perfect time to say, you know what, this is what I'm going to say and hope for the action. And NASCAR said, all right, you know what? This is we're going to take a stand and say, yeah, we're banning all the Confederate flags. Mm-hmm.
And it was cool, too, over the weekend to see Alvin Kamara come out, you know, from the Saints and say, I'm coming out. I'm coming to support it. Like, it was the
yeah,
whole
you don't,
was
you don't
cool.
have that if that ban doesn't happen either.
And it seemed it was the right message. It felt right. So you kind of enjoyed the way that all took place. How about this, Jess? I'm going to switch gears here. We talked about this probably a couple of weeks back, and we did it with Curtis. I went to a restaurant on Saturday, and I dined in.
I'm shooketh. How was
it? No, actually, I wanted to tell you about the kind of give you my take on the experience. How was it? It was weird. Really weird. Like, I don't know if I want to go again.
Oh, so was that establishment practicing like social distancing? Like, did you see them take extra precautions or anything?
Okay, so tables wise, yes. I mean, they did the best they could. I mean, here's the reality. Like, you could do the best you can, but somebody's going to be, you know, walking to the bathroom. You obviously take your mask off once you're there. The waitress definitely had her mask on the entire time and had that, like, visor, that headband visor that goes over.
Oh, wow.
So they had, you know, she was certainly well prepared, as she should be. I think she was wearing gloves, too. But I don't know, man. It's weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to – it was weird to be out there. And I think you don't even have to say anything to anyone, but everyone's looking at each other, and it's like we're living in it's a different world right now. It really is. It's a different world right now.
It's a very, very different world. I was talking to one of my friends. You know, we mentioned last week that the gyms opened up on Friday. My friend's a bit of a gym head, and he went back this weekend. I think he went Saturday and Sunday. And I asked him about it. I said, how is it? You know, are they practicing the social distancing? Do you see that they're cleaning? And my friend said that this specific gym was not doing anything.
That's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. And that's, by the way, it's not just, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that just, fed up is not the right word, but I think got excited really quick to like, oh, okay, I think we're good now. But I think a lot of what we were taught over the last few months is kind of going by the wayside. Like, I think people are just going to,
people are
probably
assuming
go
that
back.
It's kind of back to normal when it's not there at all, really. Yeah. It's just, you know,
food tasted better, tell you that much.
Well, that's good. You know, it's
– I mean, takeout versus dining in, and when it comes out piping no hot, there's a big difference, right?
So. There's the I ordered food like 2 weeks – well, it was last week on – I think I was on Friday or Thursday – I ordered The Habit, and I got it, and it was last week on Sunday, actually. I ordered it Sunday night as a late dinner, a burger and fries, because I was craving a burger and fries, and I got it, and it was cold, and it wasn't satisfying.
And here's the thing. It's not their fault. You know what I mean? Like, it's nobody's fault. It's just one of those. This is that's some of the circumstances. But I did want to tell you, so I did go out. I dined out. I think probably, you know, I got to imagine that it was – maybe 50% of their regular dining, and maybe that's their capacity. I don't know how they control it, but it was a little weird. It's going to take time, and I think that's going to be the case for a lot of people when they go back to the gym or they eventually go to a movie theater or something along those lines. It will definitely be different.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it's all going to kind of opened up. I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to go rushing back. I definitely am going to take my time before I go back. I definitely miss dining at restaurants. That's definitely one thing I miss, and I would go. But I don't know if I would go now. I really don't. I guess
well,
it would just kind of depend.
That wasn't my game plan. By the way, that wasn't my game plan. I had a cousin of mine that came up, was in town, and he's like, hey, I really would love to go, you know, dine somewhere. I'm like, I don't even think most of these places are going to be open right now. Anyways, we found one. So I just did it because of him. But if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have even crossed my mind to go. So is what it is. I think, you know, you want to support the local businesses and the restaurants, but you also want to be comfortable with dining in somewhere. I did see Starbucks today. There was one table out at the Starbucks I went to. Somebody was sitting in it. And I think that in the near future, they'll start allowing outdoor seating at some point. So we'll see when that happens.
We definitely will see.
All right, what do you got there, bud?
So before I go directly into shoot, I just want to shout out to some good news. Since we are primarily a you know, NBA basketball show here on Mondays for Lakers Talk, the WNBA announced that they've agreed to a 22-game season at the IMG Academy in Florida. So you know what? We may not get NBA, or it's still, you know, on the fence, on the bubble, no pun intended, definitely. But WNBA is going to be coming back.
Let's get them all back. Let's just get them all back. Let's get them all back. You know, and listen, I'll go back to this. And Adam Silver spoke a little bit earlier today on ESPN. All the commissioners did. So Rob Manfred did, Commissioner Roger Goodell. So there's been a lot of conversation today. But we'll see what happens on the NBA front. I will say, Jess, from a health perspective, that's also still a concern. You saw that report about – actually, you told me about it. The Cowboys and the Texans. Cowboys,
several of those players tested positive. For,
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott, one of them. That's the only name we've known so far. But, yeah, it's definitely a concern that's probably at the back of a lot of people's minds because, you know, the first thought is like, it's coming back. It's excitement. It's, yeah. But it's also, you know what, it's more likely than not that players, staff, people in that environment are going to test positive. It's really more likely than it is not.
Well, this is one of the questions I have. By the way, Adam Silver said on ESPN, it's more a sense from the entire NBA community that we have an obligation to try this because the alternative is to stay on the sidelines. In essence, give in to the virus. So that's part of what I think the NBA is doing is, okay, we'll give it our best effort. If it works out, then it worked out. No matter what, I think a lot of leagues, a lot of businesses are going to learn from what the NBA is going to try and do. And if it doesn't work out, then they tried, right? Like, no matter what, you're going to get data from it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, what happens? I thought about this today. What happens if a coach tests positive? What happened if, like, two or three assistant or two or three coaches on, like, a coaching staff all test positive, and now, like, now what? So they just go on without their coaching staff?
Is that they have one player, or not player, they have someone in that coaching staff who's fine, and they're just FaceTime with the assistant coaches in their respective quarantine rooms. They'll have a live feed to the game, and they'll do their best coordinate like that. That's what I would do if I was in that situation. Because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's all these guidelines and there's rules. And if you test positive, you're going to go into quarantine for X amount of days. And everyone you had contact with is going to go into quarantine. So we don't know. It's all hypothetical. It's all what ifs. And I think at this point, Adam Silver said it best in your quote right there. You got to give in to the virus. And at some point, someone has to say, we got to try.
And this is what it comes down to, right? Another quote from Adam Silver on the Orlando Bubble. It may not be for everyone. It will entail enormous sacrifice. That's another, you know, great point from Silver. Yeah, he's right. It might not be for everyone, right? I mean, what are you going to do if 10 players come out and say, this is just not for me. I got family. It doesn't feel right. You know what you're going to do? You're going to basically look them all in the eyes and say, completely understand. That's okay. Because that's, by the way, eventually we're going to all go back to work, right? We're going to come back to our studios and offices and everything else. You think everybody's going to feel comfortable with doing it? No. I think you're going to definitely have people that prefer to be in a different environment for whatever reason, safety concerns, whatever the case is. So I think that's going to be part of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, just here specifically, there will be some people who just be like, you know what, we've been doing it from home, and I'm just going to continue this way up until there's more certainty or until they feel more safe.
Okay, how far did I take you out of what was your topic again?
I feel like I took you so far out. So we didn't. Before I got into the actual topic, I just wanted to bring up that the WNBA is back because we hadn't mentioned that.
That's right.
So
that's right.
You didn't take me far off, actually. But I will sometimes, actually get into it.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I curveball. Go ahead.
Wait, you know what? You got to be ready for curveballs. I mean, we weren't expecting coronavirus, and look, here we are. Mm-hmm. So I have an idea for the NBA. The Premier League last week showed support among the Black Lives Matter movement. For the first 12 matches of their restarted season, all their names on the back of players' jerseys are going to read Black Lives Matter, and they'll all have a Black Lives Matter badge on their jerseys. Do you think the NBA can do something similar to this? Or a different idea that I was even thinking is maybe replace the last names on the jerseys of the players to different people who were affecting Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, mm-hmm. George Floyd, and then, you know, have send money from those jersey sales out to either the Black Lives Matter movement donation or even to those respective families. So, you know, just this is two ideas, throwing it out there for Adam Silver. If you're listening, feel free to use it. Don't give me any. Actually, give me just say you heard it here. That's all I'm asking.
That's it.
Say
that's
you
all
heard
you're
it on
for.
Lakers 710 ESPN Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. That's the only credit I needed.
So Jess, that's a great idea. And let me say this: whatever idea that the English Premier League came up with, it's all great and dandy. But I think it's going to hit and affect the NBA much larger. So it's going to be whatever the NBA comes up with, it's going to be much more impactful. That's probably not the right way to put it. The NBA is going to do a lot. Let's put it that way. Like, I can only imagine if we have basketball in August, what the structure of raising as much awareness as they possibly can around this, what it will look like and what it will be. You know what I mean? So, hats off to the English Premier League for doing that. Hats off to NASCAR for doing what they've done. Hats off to didn't MLS, I think, recently say that it would be okay to, you know, obviously if a player kneeled or anything along those lines during a match, they'd be okay with it. So, listen, the leagues are listening. People are listening. I mean, the long-term impact is always going to be the bigger question, but I wouldn't be too worried about the NBA coming up with ideas and plans that help raise awareness and make sure that it's not – I can't say that it won't be a distraction. It could very well be a distraction, but I think they're going to always bring it back to, okay, well, if you're distracted by the game, let us remind you again.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel we – because people are saying it's going to be a distraction because that's how it's always been. It's always been something like this happens. There's protests. People talk about it. And then it's just kind of business back to normal. You know what? We are in a completely unique time where even if we want to get back to how it was before George Floyd, it's still not normal. So, it's escalated and it's hit like the top of this mountain where you say it's going to be a distraction, but you know what? There's going to be dust and ashes in the air where, you know what? This happened today. You know what? There was another peaceful protest here. And I don't think this is going to stop. Like, one of the big things we were talking about when all this has happened is that now this movement has to keep going. It can't stop. And I think because of the situation that we're in now where coronavirus and all this, it's only inflate it more because it happened during this. You know, when you look back at history, it's going to say coronavirus happened in, you know, March of 2020. And then was it like a month later, a month and a half later, George Floyd happened. That escalated this whole Black Lives Matter movement to where mm-hmm. it's going and to where it's going to be because the conversation, it just imploded and exploded. And it's everywhere now. You can't really go, you know, we're a sports station and we're talking about it. You're going to go anywhere you go. You're going to find
it's going to be a part of the conversation.
It's going to be mm-hmm. somehow tied in or weaved into one another thing. So I don't think it's going to be a distraction because of the world we're living in today and because it happened in the moment that it happened in.
Okay, so Sopan Deb, I want to took kind of a transcript of this interview with Mike Greenberg and Adam Silver. I want to read something from Adam Silver. So this is going to play off of what you just said. And so as we work through these issues, I can understand how some players may feel that it's not for them. It kind of goes into the reasons. And as you said it, it could be for a host of reasons. It may be for family reasons. It may be for health reasons. They may have or they have, or it may be because they feel, as some players have said very recently, that their time is best spent elsewhere. And so again, we're dealing with a players association representing 450 guys for 22 teams. When you include the two-way players, we're talking about bringing roughly 375 players down to Orlando, and not surprisingly, there's not a uniform view among these players. My sense is we're going to be able to work through most of those issues over the next few weeks, but as I said, we also have an arrangement with the Players Association where if a player chooses not to come, it's not a breach of his contract. We accept that. So Silver was hitting on many things, just the environment, the curveball, the pandemic –
middle of essentially a recession or worse, with 40 million people unemployed, and now with enormous social unrest in the country. So the NBA is juggling a lot of different things at the same time they're trying to figure it out in the process.
Yeah, and I have full faith in the NBA that they're going to find something, you know.
They'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. Like, whatever the right thing is, they'll do the right thing.
Or they'll do the best they can to make sure that it's the right thing. It's not going to surprise us what they do, I think, is kind of, you know, how we can kind of take is
when we, they'll whatever be sympathetic.
They do. Yeah. Whatever mm-hmm. they do, we're going to be like, that's, they got it right. They did what they were supposed to do.
They'll definitely be sympathetic. So I think that, what else you got there, Jess?
All right. So last week, some interesting news kind of slipped out that gave us some kind of normalcy into what every day was like before the coronavirus.
Back in the days, yep.
Yes, back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Shams Charania,
mm-hmm.
Charania. Mm-hmm. You messed me up on that, by the way. I'll always have to say it once or yep. twice.
You have to say it a couple times now, yeah. But I'm on it now. So okay.
Thank you. As long as you correct me, because you're the one that messed me up in the first place, we're good.
All right.
So he appeared on Complex's Load Management podcast, where he revealed mm-hmm. that the Heat have made it known around the league that mm-hmm. they are targeting the Pacers guard Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo, yep.
And Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
Now, Giannis is not going to be a free agent until the end of next season, so that is the summer 2021, if all things goes right. He mm-hmm. has been linked to the Warriors, the Lakers, and now the Heat. So, Alan, take the Lakers out of the equation.
Okay.
If Giannis was a free agent and he was linked to either go to the Warriors or say he was going to go to the Heat, where let's just say Victor Oladipo's already there.
Sure.
What two of the teams would you want? Which,
prefer
as
he
an
goes?
As an NBA fan, would you mm-hmm. like to see him go? So take your, you know, take your Lakers hat off.
Take the Laker hat off.
Put on the NBA hat. Put on the NBA fan, the basketball fan hat. And tell me, where would you think Giannis would be more entertaining? Where would he?
So it's virtually impossible to like look at it from your perspective that you just mentioned. And I could try as often as I can.
That's all I really give it effort. I want you to give it effort. And
but I would say Miami, just because. I just don't want to see him in the Bay, and I don't want to see the Golden State Warriors winning, and that's it. You know, like there's nothing else I could do. But listen, you know what's interesting about Giannis? I don't know what it is. Giannis seems like one of those guys that I wouldn't be shocked if he's in Milwaukee for a while. You know, like I could see him unless maybe he won an NBA championship there and then decided like, okay, well, I accomplished what I need to accomplish. This fan base will always love me because I won a championship for them. Let me go out somewhere else. And I don't think they've won a championship since Kareem was there.
I don't think so.
Maybe in like 72 or something along those lines, 71. So I think I could see a player like Giannis only leaving if he won a championship.
Imagine Giannis, Jimmy Butler, and Victor Oladipo on the same team.
Oh, that's a squad. Yeah, that's a ridiculous squad. That's a ridiculous team. By the way, even what Miami was doing before COVID hit, Miami was churning a lot
rolling.
Of heads.
No one,
Andre Iguodala's on that mm-hmm. team. Remember Bam Adebayo, who was a part of the All-Star game this year. Definitely best name in the league.
Next to Luke Mba Amute.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's not a bad one either.
That's not a bad one.
It's a good one too.
Let me just tell you a funny story because that brought me back. I went to a Clipper game years ago. I had free tickets. So I said, free tickets, of course. And it was against the Suns, which is my friend's team. So I took him. And the whole night, my friend was cheering for Luke Mba Amute for the sole reason that he just loved to say, Luke Mba Amute!
That's great. That's great.
Fun times at Clipper games when Luke was there.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I think, you know, if that eventually happens, then it is what it is. But I'm not I definitely don't want to see him rocking the Golden State Warriors. By the way, I saw this tweet that was out a little bit earlier. This thing threw me off. I didn't know what it was. I think the Sacramento Kings put out this tweet saying retweet Lakers, you know, heart for Sacramento Kings. And I think it just got like demolished. And I don't know why the Kings would do that. Like, did they not know that the Lakers and Laker fans would just, it wouldn't even be, you know, it wouldn't be close. I want to actually pick up. Let me see where they were on this with this tweet. So it says, let's settle this debate once and for all. Retweet for Lakers, heart for Sacramento Kings. This is their own account, and it's almost 15,000 retweets for Lakers, 9,000 for the Kings.
What am I missing here? In like half an hour, we're going to get some kind of press release saying that the Sacramento Kings Twitter account was hacked. And
no, here's what it is. Here's what it is. I just saw somebody, and it's hard to see. If you go on there, right above the Lakers logo, it says, I hate. And it's in like a very, very like tough font to see. So it's basically as childish as a tweet that you can send out from the Sacramento Kings.
It's a Kings Twitter. Although I will give them credit.
15,000 for the Lakers. 9,000 for the Kings on the Sacramento Kings' own account.
I mean, it shows that the Lakers fans stick up for each other in social media.
Well, they shouldn't have done that. It also shows that they weren't very smart in putting that tweet out there.
No, that's – I don't – yeah, I'm looking at it now, and I'm just like, why would you shoot yourself?
Do you see the I hate? Do you see the I hate? You have to really, really look close right above the Lakers logo.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, I see it. Because it's like transparent.
Are we 9 years old?
It's transparent. Oh, my Lord.
We back in sixth grade?
Hey, you know what?
What are they doing?
3 months. 3 months of no sports. I guess this is what they had to revert to.
You might be right. Yeah, you might be right. All right, Jesse. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right. We got our Power 5 coming up at 8:45. So Jesse and I will we'll take a different angle on this one. We'll just talk about five different athletes that have been incredibly proactive in raising awareness. So we'll do that coming up at 8:45. Coming up next, Michael Lee of The Athletic. Kyrie Irving isn't being an agitator. He's doing his job. So a little bit different of an angle. Kyrie, obviously the vice president of the National Basketball Players Association. Michael Lee coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, let's get some shootouts started. Call 844-844-WINS for a free consultation and review of your policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for lost revenue. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Jesse, how you doing, brother?
I am doing good. It's just – it's very weird being back here.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll update everybody. Curtis not in the house tonight. So that means you go in studio. And that's probably why you picked this song. Probably why you picked this song.
Yeah. It's
not worry about anything.
Just calming down. It's just you, me, and the audience.
That's it.
And that's it. There's nothing else here. I'm not looking at a glass window into nothing. I'm just – it's – Just conversating.
You know what's interesting, Jess? So this whole show, I was so curious to just kind of get listeners' takes and get people's take. And I was actually all day today, I was curious on how people would view some of these players who I've put together this coalition and are really talking about, okay, well, if we do play, how are we going to raise awareness? How are we going to use these platforms? I mentioned this that I feel like I'm kind of – I feel like I walked into the show tonight saying, no. I sympathize with the players that are doing this. I respect them. That hasn't changed. Neither of that has changed. But I can see how those out there are starting to say, think about how many eyes are going to be on these players during the games this year. Think about how big the ratings are going to be. Think about how many people – are going to be watching games all day long, also, you know, watching SportsCenter, listening to Sports Talk Radio, Twitter, Instagram, the whole nine yards. Yes, it could be a distraction, but if it's done the right way, damn, it could probably raise an incredible amount of awareness.
And you know what else it can do? It can also show other leagues, you know what, hey, maybe this is the way to approach it, because, you know, if there's any
right,
of the,
football
the,
take some notes.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Right? Football, NFL. MLB, NHL. I mean, the NBA is the perfect league to do something like this because, you know, they're arguably the most progressive league and, you know, the players, they're
and incredibly
choosing.
Popular right now. Incredibly yeah. popular.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about this. For the most part, we've been talking, of course, we've been talking about NBA because it's Lakers talk, but even I feel the general conversation, it's been a lot about NBA and what's going to happen. Are these players going to play? Are they not going to play? And all in the meanwhile, we're still waiting for MLB to figure it out, but I feel like the conversation is still on the NBA. Are they going to play or are they not going to play? So yeah. That just shows more that the NBA, you know, has its own power just by being the NBA. And I believe that no matter what, they can find a message to weigh. I don't think it'll be a distraction. I think, you know, Brad Turner said it best, is, you know, the player might not, you know, a protester might, you know, choose to watch a game instead of going to protest, but what if they're doing stuff in the game? And, you know, one of my shootout
questions, I got a good example
based on that too. So mm-hmm. we'll definitely get into it.
I got a good example. Let's just use this as an example. Bubba Wallace. How much did you know about Bubba Wallace? Just in general, right? Like, in general, how much did you know about him and his just him in NASCAR and everything else? I feel like I know more today about Bubba Wallace than I ever have, and that was primarily because they did have a race this weekend, right? Like, that was probably part of the reason, and him speaking and him trying to help and raise awareness of the Confederate flag now taken down. You cannot have that at any NASCAR
race.
Any NASCAR races, right? Like, I think that's a good example of somebody that used his platform and raised a ton of awareness. So that could be an example. And think about what that would be on an NBA scope. It would be 10 times that.
Yeah, you know, that's you never really thought NASCAR was going to be something at least brought up here. Because if Bubba Wallace never spoke out, you probably aren't even – you're not saying that. You're not saying Bubba Wallace's name. You're not thinking NASCAR race. He chose to speak out, and because he knew at that moment this was that perfect time to say, you know what, this is what I'm going to say and hope for the action. And NASCAR said, all right, you know what? This is we're going to take a stand and say, yeah, we're banning all the Confederate flags.
Mm-hmm. And it was cool, too, over the weekend to see Alvin Kamara come out, you know, from the Saints and say, I'm coming out. I'm coming to support it. Like, it was
have that if that ban doesn't happen either.
And it seemed it was the right message. It felt right. So you enjoyed the way that all took place. How about this, Jess? I'm going to switch gears here. We talked about this probably a couple of weeks back, and we did it with Curtis. I went to a restaurant on Saturday, and I dined in.
I'm shooketh. How was it?
No, actually, I wanted to tell you about to kind of give you my take on the experience. How was it? It was weird, really weird. Like, I don't know if I want to go again.
Oh, so was that establishment practicing like social distancing? Like, did you see them take extra precautions or anything?
Okay, so tables wise, yes. I mean, they did the best they could. I mean, here's the reality. Like, you could do the best you can, but somebody's going to be, you know, walking to the bathroom. You obviously take your mask off once you're there. The waitress definitely had her mask on the entire time and had that, like, visor, that headband visor that goes over.
Oh, wow.
So they had, you know, she was certainly well prepared, as she should be. I think she was wearing gloves, too. But I don't know, man. It's weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to – it was weird to be out there. And I think you don't even have to say anything to anyone, but everyone's looking at each other, and it's like we're living in it's a different world right now. It really is. It's a different, different world right now.
It's a very, very different world. I was talking to one of my friends. You know, we mentioned last week that the gyms opened up on Friday. My friend's
right.
A bit of a gym head, and he went back this weekend. I think he went Saturday and Sunday. And I asked him about it. I said, how is it? You know, are they practicing the social distancing? Do you see that they're cleaning? And my friend said that this specific gym was not doing anything.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And that's, by the way, it's not just, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that just, fed up is not the right word, but I think got excited really quick to like, oh, okay, I think we're good now. But I think a lot of what we were taught over the last few months is kind of going by the wayside. Like, I think people are just going
to probably assuming it's kind of back to normal when it's not there
yeah.
at all, really.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, people beyond.
Food tasted better. Tell you that
much. Well, that's good. You know, it's.
I mean, takeout versus dining in, and when it comes out piping hot, there's a big difference, right?
So. There's the human. I ordered food like 2 weeks. Well, it was last week on. I think I was on Friday or Thursday. I ordered the Habit, and I got it. Or it was last week on Sunday. Actually, I ordered it Sunday night. As a late dinner, a burger and fries, because I was craving a burger and fries, and I got it, and it was cold, and it wasn't satisfying.
And here's the thing. It's not their fault. You know what I mean? Like, it's nobody's fault. It's just one of those. This is – that's some of the circumstances. But I did want to tell you. So I did go out. I dined out. I think probably – you know, I got to imagine that it was maybe 50% of their regular dining, and maybe that's their capacity. I don't know how they control it, but it was a little weird. It's going to take time, and I think that's going to be the case for a lot of people when they go back to the gym or they eventually go to a movie theater or something along those lines, it will definitely be different.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how it's all going to kind of opened up. I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to go rushing back. I definitely am going to take my time before I go back. I definitely miss dining at restaurants. That's definitely one thing I miss and I would go, but I don't know if I would go now. I really don't. I guess
well,
it would just kind of depend.
That wasn't my game plan. By the way, that wasn't my game plan. I had a cousin of mine that came up, was in town, and he's like, "Hey, I really would love to go, you know, dine somewhere." I'm like, "I don't even think most of these places are going to be open right now." Anyways, we found one, so I just did it because of him. But if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have even crossed my mind to go. So, is what it is. I think, you know, you want to support the local businesses and the restaurants, but you also want to be comfortable with dining in somewhere. I did see Starbucks today. There was one table out at the Starbucks I went to. Somebody was sitting in it. And I think that in the near future, they'll start allowing outdoor seating at some point. So we'll see when that happens.
We definitely will see.
All right. What do you got there, bud?
So before I go directly in a shoot, I just want to shout out to some good news. Since we are primarily a NBA basketball show here on Mondays for Lakers Talk, the WNBA announced that they've agreed to a 22-game season at the IMG Academy in Florida. So you know what? We may not get NBA, or it's still, you know, on the fence, on the bubble, no pun intended, definitely. But WNBA is going to be coming back.
Let's get them all back. You know, and listen, I'll go back to this. And Adam Silver spoke a little bit earlier today on ESPN. All the commissioners did. So Rob Manfred did, Commissioner Roger Goodell. So there's been a lot of conversation today. But we'll see what happens on the NBA front. I will say, Jess, from a health perspective, that's also still a concern. You saw that report about – actually, you told me about it. The Cowboys and the Texans. Cowboys,
several of those players tested positive. For,
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott, one of them. That's the only name we've known so far. But yeah, it's definitely a concern that's probably at the back of a lot of people's minds because, the first thought is like, it's coming back, it's excitement, it's yeah. But it's also, you know what, it's more likely than not that players, staff, people in that environment are going to test positive. It's really more likely than it is not.
Well, this is one of the questions I have. By the way, Adam Silver said on ESPN, it's more a sense from the entire NBA community that we have an obligation to try this because the alternative is to stay on the sidelines. In essence, give in to the virus. So that's part of what I think the NBA is doing is, okay, we'll give it our best effort. If it works out, then it worked out. No matter what, I think a lot of leagues, a lot of businesses are going to learn from what the NBA is going to try and do. And if it doesn't work out, then they tried, right? Like, no matter what, you're going to get data from it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, what happens? I thought about this today. What happens if a coach tests positive? What happened if, like, two or three coaches on, like, a coaching staff all test positive, and now, like, now what? So they just go on without their coaching staff?
Is that they have one player, or not player, they have someone in that coaching staff who's fine, and they're just FaceTime with the assistant coaches in their respective quarantine rooms. They'll have a live feed to the game, and they'll do the best coordinate like that. That's just my, that's what I would do if I was in that situation, because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's all these guidelines and there's rules. And if you test positive, you're going to go into quarantine for X amount of days, and everyone you had contact with is going to go into quarantine. So it's, we don't know. It's all hypothetical. It's all what ifs. And I think at this point, Adam Silver said it best in your quote right there. You got to give in to the virus. And at some point, someone has to say, we got to try.
And this is what it comes down to, right? Another quote from Adam Silver on the Orlando Bubble. It may not be for everyone. It will entail enormous sacrifice. That's another, you know, great point from Silver. Yeah, he's right. It might not be for everyone, right? I mean, what are you going to do if 10 players come out and say, this is just not for me? I got family. It doesn't feel right. You know what you're going to do? You're going to basically look them all in the eyes and say, completely understand. That's okay. Because that's, by the way, eventually we're going to all go back to work, right? We're going to come back to our studios and offices and everything else. Do you think everybody's going to feel comfortable with doing it? No. I think you're going to definitely have people that prefer to be in a different environment for whatever reason, safety concerns, whatever the case is. So I think that's going to be part of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, just here specifically, there will be some people who just be like, you know what, we've been doing it from home, and I'm just going to continue this way up until there's more certainty or until they feel more safe.
Okay, how far did I take you out of your – what was your topic again?
I feel like I took you so far out. So we didn't. Before I got into the actual topic, I just wanted to bring up that the WNBA is back, because we hadn't mentioned that.
That's right.
So
that's right.
You didn't take me far off, actually. But I will actually get into it.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I curveball. Go ahead.
Wait, you know what? You got to be ready for curveballs. I mean, we weren't expecting coronavirus, and look, here we are. Mm-hmm. So I have an idea for the NBA. The Premier League last week showed support among the Black Lives Matter movement. For the first 12 matches of their restarted season, all their names on the back of players' jerseys are going to read Black Lives Matter, and they'll all have a Black Lives Matter badge on their jerseys. Do you think the NBA can do something similar to this? Or a different idea that I was thinking is maybe replace the last names on the jerseys of the players to different people who were affecting: Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and then, you know, send money from those jersey sales out to either the Black Lives Matter movement donation, or even to those respective families. So, you know, just, this is two ideas, throwing it out there for Adam Silver. If you're listening, feel free to use it. Don't give me any, actually, give me, just say you heard it here. That's all I'm asking.
That's it. That's
all you heard it on Lakers, 710 ESPN Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. That's the only credit I needed.
So Jess, that's a great idea. And let me say this, whatever idea that the English Premier League came up with, it's all great and dandy, but I think it's going to hit and affect the NBA much larger. So it's going to be whatever the NBA comes up with, it's going to be much more impactful. That's probably not the right way to put it. The NBA is going to do a lot. Let's put it that way. Like, I can only imagine if we have basketball in August, what the structure of raising as much awareness as they possibly can around this, what it will look like and what it will be. You know what I mean? So hats off to the English Premier League for doing that. Hats off to NASCAR for doing what they've done. Hats off to didn't MLS, I think, recently say that it would be okay to, you know, obviously if a player kneeled or anything along those lines during a match, they'd be okay with it. So listen, the leagues are listening. People are listening. I mean, the long-term impact is always going to be the bigger question, but I wouldn't be too worried about the NBA coming up with ideas and plans that help raise awareness and make sure that it's not – I can't say that it won't be a distraction. It could very well be a distraction, but I think they're going to always bring it back to, okay, well, if you're distracted by the game, let us remind you again.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel people are saying it's going to be a distraction because that's how it's always been. It's always been something like this happens, there's protests, people talk about it, and then it's just kind of business back to normal. you know what? We are in a completely unique time where even if we want to get back to how it was before George Floyd, it's still not normal. So the, you know, we, it's escalated and it's hit like the top of this mountain where you say it's going to be a distraction, but you know what? There's going to be dust and ashes in the air where, you know what? This happened today. You know what? There was another peaceful protest here. And I don't think this is going to stop. Like, one of the big things we were talking about when all this has happened is that now this movement has to keep going. It can't stop. And I think because of the situation that we're in now where coronavirus and all this, it's only inflated more because it happened during this. You know, when you look back at history, it's going to say coronavirus happened in, you know, March of 2020. And then was it like a month later, a month and a half later, George Floyd happened. That escalated this whole Black Lives Matter movement to where it's going and to where it's going to be, because the conversation, it just imploded and exploded, and it's everywhere now. You can't really go, you know, we're a sports station and we're talking about it. You're going to go anywhere you go, you're going to find
it's going to be a part of the conversation.
It's going to be somehow tied in or weaved into one another thing. So I don't think it's going to be a distraction because of the world we're living in today and because it happened in the moment that it happened in.
Okay, so Sopan Deb, I want to took kind of a transcript of this interview with Mike Greenberg and Adam Silver. I want to read something from Adam Silver. So this is going to play off of what you just said. And so as we work through these issues, I can understand how some players may feel that it's not for them. It kind of goes into the reasons. And as you said it, it could be for a host of reasons. It may be for family reasons. It may be for health reasons. They may have, or they have, or it may be because they feel, as some players have said very recently, that their time is best spent elsewhere. And so again, we're dealing with a players association representing 450 guys for 22 teams. When you include the two-way players, we're talking about bringing roughly 375 players down to Orlando, and not surprisingly, there's not a uniform view among these players. My sense is we're going to be able to work through most of those issues over the next few weeks, but as I said, we also have an arrangement with the Players Association where if a player chooses not to come, it's not a breach of his contract. We accept that. So Silver was hitting on many things, just the environment, the curveball, the pandemic, middle of essentially a recession or worse with 40 million people unemployed and now with enormous social unrest in the country. So the NBA is juggling a lot of different things at the same time they're trying to figure it out in the process.
Yeah, and I have full faith in the NBA that they're going to find something, you know.
They'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. Like, whatever the right thing is, they'll do the right thing.
Or they'll do the best they can to make sure that it's the right thing. It's not going to surprise us what they do, I think, is kind of, you know, how we can kind of take is when we,
they'll
whatever
be sympathetic.
They do. Yeah. Whatever they do, we're going to be like that's, they got it right. They did what they were supposed to do.
They'll definitely be sympathetic. So I think that, what else you got there, Jess?
All right. So last week, some interesting news kind of slipped out that gave us some kind of normalcy into what every day was like before the coronavirus.
Back in the days, yep.
Yes, back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Shams Charania,
Charania.
You messed me up on that, by the way. I'll always have to say it once or twice.
You have to say it a couple times now, but I'm on it now. So okay.
Me because you're the one that messed me up in the first place, we're good.
All right.
So he appeared on Complex's Load Management podcast where he revealed that the Heat have made it known around the league that they are targeting the Pacers guard Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo, yep.
And Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
Now, Giannis is not going to be a free agent until the end of next season. So that is the summer 2021, if all things goes right. He has been linked to the Warriors, the Lakers, and now the Heat. So, Alan, take the Lakers out of the equation.
Okay.
If Giannis was a free agent and he was linked to either go to the Warriors or say he was going to go to the Heat, where let's just say Victor Oladipo's already there.
Sure.
What two of the teams would you want? Which,
prefer
as
he
an
goes?
As an NBA fan, would you like to see him go? So take your, you know, take your Lakers hat off.
Take the Laker hat off.
Put on the NBA hat. Put on the NBA fan, the basketball fan hat. And tell me, where would you think Giannis would be more entertaining? Where would he?
So it's virtually impossible to like look at it from your perspective that you just mentioned. And I could try as often as I can.
That's all I could really give it effort. Alan, I want you to give it effort and
but
try.
I would say Miami. Miami just because I just don't want to see him in the Bay, and I don't want to see the Golden State Warriors winning, and that's it. You know, like, there's nothing else I could do. But listen, you know what's interesting about Giannis? I don't know what it is. Giannis seems like one of those guys that I wouldn't be shocked if he's in Milwaukee for a while. You know, like I could see him unless maybe he won an NBA championship there and then decided like, okay, well, I accomplished what I need to accomplish. This fan base will always love me because I won a championship for them. Let me go out somewhere else. And I don't think they've won a championship since Kareem was there.
I don't think so.
Maybe in like 72 or something along those lines, 71. So I think I could see a player like Giannis only leaving if he won a championship.
Imagine Giannis, Jimmy Butler, and Victor Oladipo on the same team.
Oh, that's a squad. Yeah, that's a ridiculous squad. That's a ridiculous team. By the way, even what Miami was doing before COVID hit, Miami was churning a lot of heads.
No one,
Andre Iguodala's on that team. Remember Bam Adebayo, who was a part of the All-Star game this year. Definitely best name in the league.
Next to
so.
Luke Mba Amute.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's not a bad one either.
That's not a bad one.
That's a good one too.
Let me just tell you a funny thing because that brought me back. I went to a Clipper game years ago. I had free tickets. So I said, free tickets, of course. And it was against the Suns, which is my friend's team. So I took him. And the whole night, my friend was cheering for Luke Mba Amute for the sole reason that he just loved to say, Luke Mba Amute!
That's great. That's so, great.
Fun
That's
times
great.
At Clipper games when Luke was there.
I don't blame him. I think, you know, if that eventually happens, then it is what it is. But I'm not I definitely don't want to see him rocking the Golden State Warriors. By the way, I saw this tweet that was out a little bit earlier. This thing threw me off. I didn't even know what it was. I think the Sacramento Kings put out this tweet saying retweet Lakers, you know, heart for Sacramento Kings. And I think it just got like demolished. And I don't know why the Kings would do that. Like, did they not know that the Lakers and Laker fans would just it wouldn't even be, you know, it wouldn't be close. I want to actually pick up. Let me see where they were on this with this tweet. So it says, let's settle this debate once and for all. Retweet for Lakers, heart for Sacramento Kings. This is their own account, and it's almost 15,000 retweets for Lakers, 9,000 for the Kings. What am I missing here?
In like half an hour, we're going to get some kind of press release saying that the Sacramento Kings Twitter account was hacked. And
no, here's what it is. I just saw somebody, and it's hard to see. If you go on there, right above the Lakers logo, it says, I hate. And it's in like a very, very like tough font to see. So it's basically as childish as a tweet that you can send out from the Sacramento Kings.
It's a Kings Twitter. Although I will give them credit.
15,000 for the Lakers, 9,000 for the Kings on the Sacramento Kings' own account.
I mean, it shows that the Lakers fans stick up for each other in social media.
Well, they shouldn't have done that. It also shows that they weren't very smart in putting that tweet out there.
No, that's – I don't – yeah, I'm looking at it now, and I'm just like, why would you shoot yourself?
Do you see the I hate? Do you see the I hate? You have to really, really look close right above the Lakers logo.
Oh, wait. Oh, I see it.
That?
Because
what are we, nine?
It's like transparent.
Are we 9 years old?
It's transparent. Oh, my Lord.
We back in sixth grade?
Hey, you know what?
What are they doing?
3 months. 3 months of no sports. I guess this is what they had to revert to.
You might be right. Yeah, you might be right. All right, Jesse, appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, we got our Power Five coming up at 8:45. So, Jesse and I will actually talk. We'll take a different angle on this one. We'll just talk about five different athletes that have been incredibly proactive in raising awareness. So we'll do that coming up at 8:45. Coming up next, Michael Lee of The Athletic. Kyrie Irving isn't being an agitator. He's doing his job. So a little bit different of an angle. Kyrie, obviously the vice president of the National Basketball Players Association. Michael Lee coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. So thank you to our partners. And of course, as always, thank you to our frontline workers. Let's get Power 5 started. Okay, Jess, so here's what we're doing. We're focusing on the NBA, and all we're doing is highlighting. This is not a ranking. Usually we rank. This will not be a ranking. Just five NBA athletes that you feel like is leading the way on this social front, helping raise awareness, help using their platform to do it, and you know certainly trying to try and make some positive change. So why don't you get started? Give me a player. I'll go after you. We'll just go back and forth.
All right, I'm going old school here with a person who is played back in the day, but still continues to, you know, voice his opinion, and his opinion is usually rather strong when it comes to this. I'm going with Kareem for my first choice, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, mm-hmm. aka Lul, and you know what? It doesn't matter, Kareem.
I'm gonna let you pronounce that.
It's like at Lul and Cedor. I can't.
Alcindor. Lul Alcindor. Okay, so real quick, Jess, when you mentioned Kareem, how active has he been these last couple of weeks?
Insane.
Right? So he's been incredibly active, and it's important. And, you know, you think about Kareem, too. He had a couple clips that I played a couple weeks ago where he said, listen, if history repeats itself, this will only get us too far. This could be a time where we don't have to repeat history. We could actually do something and have change that's long lasting. He just was talking about other times where there's protests, and at the end of the day, we still have it today. But Kareem is a great one.
Yeah, and Kareem, real quick, just following up on that, he says the same thing. If you hear him on, you know, Get Up or Sports Center, Jalen Jacoby, his message doesn't change. You know, he had like three or four different interviews, I think, last week. And it was supposed to be talking about the Bruce Lee documentary, Be Water, because he was featured in that. But it turned into the whole social reform and inequality. And on all the interviews I heard him say, he basically echoed the same thing. And you know what? That's a testament to him, because he knows that he's just knocking that same message everywhere he goes.
Okay, so let's use a quick example on this one. So earlier today, LeBron put out a tweet. Until you understand the history of what's been going on to us in America, then you'll never understand why we are in pain till this day. So he retweeted something, came from Matthew Dowd, and it said, on this day exactly 100 years ago in 1923, African Americans were lynched in Duluth, Minnesota by a white mob of 5,000. Falsely accused and left unprotected by local leaders. They even sold postcards of it. Let us push for justice and equality this day and all days. So LeBron has been incredibly active. And, you know, I just use Twitter, 46 million plus followers, 65 plus on Instagram. He's using his platform. He's using it the right way. Now, he's obviously one that thinks that you can play the game of basketball and still, you know, be an advocate and look for some change and make sure that you could do everything you can to try and, you know, stop racism in this country. It's not going to happen overnight. And obviously, it's going to take more than just LeBron James to try and do it. But he's obviously one that has been loud. He's been active. And he's also been one that continues to, I think, lead the way for the NBA on this front.
Definitely. I agree wholeheartedly. You took the person I was going to say.
All right. Kuz is another one. How about Kuzi's last couple of weeks? How about
Kuz is a low key one, because he definitely voices opinion that he doesn't get a lot of traction.
He gets some traction. He's just not going to get. I mean, if you're looking to get traction, like, you know, LeBron, it's not going
to
happen.
He's a Bronx teammate. He's able to go.
Well, let me throw out a couple more. Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson were both at protests. Jalen Brown led a protest.
Russell Westbrook
in Atlanta. Russell Westbrook. So there's a lot of NBA players trying to make it happen.
And
so
the young players, too, like Trae Young, too. Props to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I got Lakers talk coming up on social, so you can join ESPN Los Angeles. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to all our listeners. As always, Laker fans, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a great rest of your night. Sleep a show tomorrow.